singing today.
Amen. Amen.
I thank the Lord for this book.
Amen. Mm.
It's changed my life. If it wasn't for this book, I may not know any of you today. Because of what this book, the gospel in this book, the salvation that I have got from this book, I believe that to have all of our salvation has brought us together today. And I just praise the Lord for it. And that's why we preach it. That's why we don't preach my opinions or my thoughts, but we preach this book because that is where the power is. That is what can change your life. That is what can change your eternity. And that's why we preach that. And that's our goal today. If you've got a copy with you today, and I hope you do, I know we put it on the screens, but there's nothing like holding a copy of God's Word in your hand. If you don't have one, come see me. I can make it happen. I've got about 45 copies at my house, and that is, you think that's an exaggeration. Sadly, that's probably not. But I would be honored. That would be no better way to use one of those than to give it to somebody. So that will be in 1 John chapter number 2 this morning. Probably good if I turn there. 1 John chapter 2 this morning. And we'll be reading verses 12 through 14. Now, if you'll notice, this is kind of a backtrack from where we were the last time that I was, last time we were in 1 John, which was not last week, but the week before that. And you would be right. As I was going through this last week, we ended with verse number 14. But this week, as I was studying to proceed, I could not get past verses 12 through 14. I couldn't do it. God wouldn't let me move past that. And at first I was thinking, Lord, I'm not going to be able to preach a whole message on these three verses. But then next thing you know, it's one of those outlines Kerry looks at and says, you better move quick. There's a lot here, and I want my goal today is for us to know where we're at spiritually. And this book, as we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, is written to, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So this book was written to believers, and as we began this study, we've already went through three different assessments for us to look at and say, do we see that in our life? And if you do, the Bible tells us that you're saved. We saw the first one was a true child of God will walk in the light. That doesn't mean they'll be perfect, but that does mean their life will be marked by righteousness. Their life will be marked by doing the things of God, living in the light. That was test number one. Test number two was, do you keep the commandments of God? The Bible says, if you do, then you will walk in them. The Bible says, if you are saved, you will keep His commandments. So, do you walk in the light? Do you keep His commandments? The third one we dealt with was, do you love your brother and sister in Christ? The Bible says, if you say you're saved, yet you hate your brother, you're a liar, and the truth's not in you. So those are the three tests. Do you walk in the light that we've dealt with so far? Do you keep the commandments? Now, I'm not saying perfectly because we can't, but is your life marked by that? And do you love your brethren? Remember, we talked about selflessly and sacrificially. And if you do, and John's goal in writing this, and we've talked about it, and I won't rehash all of it, was to strengthen you in your faith. Not to make people doubt, but to strengthen you and give assurance of your salvation. And I hope that has done that. Now today, my goal, I'm mainly talking to children of God today. And I want us to do a spiritual assessment of ourselves. Because in the text before us today, we have got three stages of spiritual development. And I'm afraid a lot of Christians as a whole today are stuck in one of them. And we'll read that here in just a moment. So if you found your place in 1 John chapter 2, please stand as we read verses 12 through 14. 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14. The Bible says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity to come to your house. Lord, we could leave now and say it's been good to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for your manifested presence we've already experienced. But Lord, even if you hadn't done that, we've heard your precious word spoken. And Lord, that's where the power is. That is what can change a life. And I pray today, Lord, as I preach these next few moments, that you would empty me of myself, cleanse me of sin, and fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please enable me to rightly divide this scripture. And if it's rightly divided, your word says it will not return void, and that's the goal. I just want to tell them what you've said and let you work. And Lord, if there's no one here today, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, the gospel will be shared. And I pray today, Lord, that you would open their eyes to their need and save their soul before they leave today. Lord Jesus, we love you. And I pray you'd help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we think this morning about a spiritual assessment, we'll go ahead and dive right in. The first thing I want to point out are the stages of development. Now, I don't want you to get excited. I'm probably going to fly through this first point, but they're all not going to go that fast. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. So the stages of development, we'll look at them briefly, and then we'll come back and dig into them. So first we see, as we're looking at a spiritual development, what I mean by that is where people are spiritually. We see three stages here today. And I made the reference earlier that I'm afraid a lot of Christians today are stuck in one of these stages, and it's not a good one. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. But the first thing we see, the first stage of development we see, is little children. We see this in verse 12 and 13. It says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And then it goes on in verse 13. At the end of that verse, I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. So we have little children. And then secondly, we have young men. Verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Then verse 14. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So we have little children, we have young men, and then thirdly, we have Daniel Jones. No, just kidding. Thirdly, we have fathers, the elders. Just kidding. Sorry. Had to kill it there, but that, I've been waiting on that. So we have fathers as we look at verse 13 and 14. So the Bible says, I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. And then verse 14, I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. So we see three stages, little children, young men, and fathers. Everyone here today that's saved falls in one of these categories. And that's why I want you to search your heart today, as I have mine, and see what category you fit in. The goal, obviously, and we're going to see as we dig in, is to be fathers. That doesn't mean to be old physically. I know I made the joke, but that's not what that means. That means to be spiritually mature. And just because you're old, just because you're young doesn't mean you can't be mature spiritually. And just because you're old doesn't mean you're mature spiritually. And we're going to talk about that here in a moment. So as we dig into this, the stages of development, little children, young men, and fathers. So secondly, I want to give the sense, the explanation. What are we looking at here? So first, let's look at little children. We look at verse 12 and 13 again. It says, first, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So as we look at little children here, we see in verse number 12, first, that they have been invigorated. What I mean by that is given life. What I mean by that is they've been saved. Because before we're saved, we're spiritually dead, the Bible says, in our trespasses and sins. But when we come to know Christ, we are given life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord comes to live within us. We are invigorated spiritually. Look what it says, verse number 12. I have written unto you little children. That literally means little born ones. Those who have been born again. Now, every stage we're going to look at, that is the case. This is where, if you're a child of God, all of us have started. And if you're a new child of God today, this is you. But if you're saved, we are all little born ones. And I want to point out here, look what it says. I write unto you little children, little born ones, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. That means these little ones have done nothing to earn their salvation. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only thing we have earned or merited is death and is hell and is eternal damnation. That's all we deserve. That's why the Bible says our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. And it talks about that in the Old Testament. Israel, they got to a point where they thought that because they were God's chosen people, that God chose them because of who they were. The Bible says that God didn't choose you because of who you are. God chose you because He loves you. God chose you for His name's sake. And I love it when the psalmist says that so many times. You read the Psalms, and he's asking God to help him. He's asking God to encourage him. He's asking God to forgive him. He doesn't say for my sake a lot of times, but he says for your sake. Because we have been saved because of Him. Because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Are you saved here today? If not, this stage of spiritual development doesn't apply to you because you've not been born yet. But I praise God you can be. The same gospel that saved me on April 10th, 2001, and that saved every other believer in this room, can save you today. God has not ran out of power or energy or ability. He can forgive every sin you've ever committed today before you leave this premises. The Bible says all you've got to do, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. A lot of people can promise you things today and let you down. But as we've seen in the songs and as we're going to talk about in the scripture, when God makes a promise, He keeps it. Right. And if you're here today and you don't know Him, you can leave here today knowing Him. He did everything that's necessary. All you got to do is ask. Okay? And if we're saved by the grace of God, we have all been little children. We are all little born ones. So they have been invigorated, but we see in verse 13 that they are spiritually immature. Spiritually immature. Look what the Bible says. I write unto you fathers because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. Now, the little children there in the original language is a little different there. And it literally means immature little ones. And it says there, it said, little children, because you have known the Father. So they know that they're saved, but J. Vernon McGee put it, and that's about all they know. They are immature spiritually. Now, some people are spiritually immature, we see next, because they're just getting started. We should never expect somebody that is newly saved to be immediately holy, righteous, and know how to act and what to say and what to do. There have been some high-profile people, and I'm not God, so I don't know, but I believe they've truly got saved, but they've made mistakes not long after, and people say, yeah, well, you see there, they didn't get saved. Were you perfect when you got saved? I've done a lot more sinning after I got saved than before, because I got saved at 8. When we get saved by the grace of God, we are not perfect. We got a lot to, but at that moment, the process of sanctification begins. I believe every day. I believe continually you'll become more like Christ. You'll change, and you'll see that in your life. We've talked about those things, but you will not be perfect. When you first get saved, just like a baby that is born. When Jasper was born 4 years ago, did he come out knowing trigonometry and eating steak? No. He had a lot of growing to do. That's the same thing for people spiritually. When we get saved, that's when it begins, where our sins are forgiven. We have the hope of heaven. If we die, we're going to spend eternity in heaven forever. But the process of sanctification, the process of growth begins. But not only, but see, we see some are just starting and they're spiritually immature. But here is the one that really bothers me. Others have just become satisfied. There are a lot of people that have been saved for a long time, but they're still spiritually immature. And there is no excuse for that. Now, I do understand and I do admit that some churches do not do a great job of discipling new believers. But that still, the whole brunt of that doesn't fully fall on the church. There are a lot of people today who have been in good churches, who have been saved, who are still spiritually immature by their own choosing. Did you know that you are as close to God and you are as spiritually mature as you want to be? That's a challenging thought, but it's true. Does this fit you today? Are you somebody that's saved? Praise God. You're on your way to heaven. But if you're not careful, you're going to be that person the Bible describes as saved as so by fire. He's got fire insurance. And this is a very dangerous place to be. What I mean by that is there's a fine line here. Because I want to point this out. Just because you say you're saved doesn't necessarily mean that you are. Okay? There's a lot of people today who have claimed to be saved, but their life has never changed in the slightest. I am not their judge. But the Bible says there will be fruit of salvation in your life. Is there fruit in your life? Have you been saved for a long time, but you've not grown at all? Imagine if we saw a child today that was born but never grew. We would think something's bad wrong with that child. Same way spiritually. Are you a child of God but not growing? Something's wrong. And we're going to see how to fix that later. So we see here the little children. They've been invigorated, but they are spiritually immature. Some because they're just starting, others because they've become satisfied. We see, secondly, young men, verses 13 and 14. And obviously, as we get into this, we see these have been saved. Remember, that is a mark of everyone listed here. Verse 13 says, it says, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Then in verse 14, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So we see these have been saved, and these are spiritually strong. That's what the Bible says here. Look what it says in verse 13 again. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, does that mean that the young men have overcome him to the point where they can't sin anymore? No, that's not what that means. I believe what that means there is these young men, spiritually young men or women, like I guess we could be spiritual teenagers, spiritual tweeners, I guess you'd call them. We always had Sunday school classes for the young ones, the teenagers, and the adults, but I was in the tweener section for a long time. I guess that's kind of what we're referencing here spiritually. They're spiritually strong. They've overcome the wicked one, and I believe in the sense of spiritual truth. They've got a grasp of the Word of God. They know that they are not deceived by the false doctrines that are preached in the world today. And I believe there are plenty of them. There are many of them. All over, everywhere, and everything. And next week, Lord willing, as we look into not loving the world, we'll talk about some of those things. But these young men who have overcome the wicked one, they know the Word of God. They know their Bible, so that if a false doctrine is proclaimed or tried to been shoved down their throat, they can, according with the Scriptures, know that that's not true. Does that mark you? Okay, look what it goes on to say, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that's from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. These, the Word of God abides in them. And we're going to dig into that phrase here in a moment, in a little while. But these young men are spiritually strong. They know their Bible. They're growing in the Lord. They can refute, or at least know when false doctrine is being taught. See, the spiritual babes in Christ, there's a lot of people who have been saved for a long time, but because of their immaturity, when a false doctrine is preached, if it's preached in a manner that is wayward, it can deceive you. See, because the false teachers, they're good at what they do. They can present it in such a way that if you don't know better, you'll believe it. That's why it's so important that we get in this book and become these spiritually young men, growing and being strong in the Lord, overcoming the wicked one, so that when it does come, when it is presented, when we do hear it or see it, we can point it out and say, that is not true. Or we can be ignorant, we can believe it, and be led down a very dark path. So we see that there's little children. We see the young men, they're saved, they're spiritually strong. Then we see, thirdly, we see the fathers. In verses 13 and 14, the Bible says again, I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Then verse 14, it says basically the same thing. I've written to you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. So we see here these, obviously, so we see they've been freed, they've been saved. They are saved on their way to heaven. They have been spiritually developing. They've been like the young man. They've been growing in their faith, growing in their knowledge of the Word, growing in Christ. And as they have done that, and we're going to show how to do it shortly, that we see, secondly, they have been faithful. Look what it says about them. And I've heard Pastor Daniel say this, and this is my desire, and I hope it's yours as well. It says, I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. They know God. Now, if you're saved, you are a child of God and you know God. But just like Job at the end of his trial, the end of that hard time he went through, he said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He came through that knowing God. He walks in. That's how do you get to know somebody? You walk with them. You talk with them. You spend time with them. And this spiritual father that's being addressed here has grown in the Word. And we're going to talk about that more here in a moment. But as we think about and look at this, the Bible says, Philippians 3:10, that I may, this is Paul's desire, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Is that your desire? If it is, you walk through the stage of spiritual development. Don't sit on the sidelines and be a spiritual baby your whole life. Like I said earlier, you're as close to God and as mature as a Christian as you want to be. If you want to know God, you've got to spend time with God in His Word and in prayer. We see Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Wouldn't you like that to be said about your life? That you walked with God? That's the Father that's being spoken of here. This does not necessarily, once again, mean that this is an old person. Now, I believe that old saints of God that have lived with God can fit very much this category. But there can be somebody younger who got saved at a young age and has walked with God and got in His Word and spoken to Him in prayer and seen Him be faithful and got to know God at a young age. Everyone in here can be like this. You can know God if you want to. You can be like this father being described here. So we see the spiritual fathers, they've been freed and they have been faithful. They know God. And we see thirdly, number three, the sustenance. What was the key to the growth of the young men to get them to the father stage? Just as us physically, we need food to grow. We need the right food to grow. Eat your spinach so you'll grow big and strong. Yuck. But spiritually, we need the right kind of food if we're going to grow and to know God. That should be our goal. And we see this in verse number 14. I've written to you, Father, because ye have known him that's from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you. The sustenance is not anything this world has to offer, but it is the inspired, God-breathed. That's why we sang the songs today, Word of God. You want to grow in the Lord? This is how you do it. Amen. Consume it. And we're going to talk about how to do that here in a moment. But we can't expect to eat one meal a week on Sunday mornings and expect us to grow spiritually. If I had one meal a week on Sunday mornings, I would be a lot skinnier than I am now. But I promise you, I eat way more than once a week. And spiritually, we should be the same way. We need the sustenance of the Scriptures. That is how they grew. Now, knowing where what the sustenance is, I want to talk fourthly about the strategy as we focus on the Scriptures. Three things here. Well, that's a little deceptive. There's three things and then three sub. There's a lot going on here, so you just hang on. So we see, first, the strategy to growing in the Lord. Remember, that's our goal. Spiritually developing as we should. First, we must be faithfully hiding the Word of God in our hearts. Bible says, Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. That word in Psalm 119:11, hid, means to store up, treasure up. Get down in your heart. Get it down there so that when you need it, it's there to use. And how do we do that? And we talked about this at FTL this past Thursday. We began to do the 10 commitments is what we thought. We began this past Thursday. Commitment number one. Do you remember it offhand? Amen. It would daily get to know God by spending time with Him, meditating and memorizing His Word. So, how can we faithfully hide it in our heart as we think about that? First, we've got to make time daily to spend in His Word. Well, I say we've got to make time because if we don't, we won't have time. Brother Glenn talked about this on Thursday. We've got a lot going on in the world today. This week's been a busy week for me. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't been as faithful as I should be. And then this is a dig at me. But if we're going to grow and develop spiritually as we can, as God wants us to, we're going to have to make time every day to spend time with the Lord in His Word. That means you've got to, if you have to literally have a schedule book and write on there time with God, I've got a date with God and I'm not going to miss it. Because like Brother Glenn said on Thursday, we can't afford to miss that. I'm just kind of re-saying what he said. This thing was great on Wednesday or Thursday. He talked about how he told his family that unless you're on fire or the house is on fire, don't come see me because I need this time. Because if I don't have it, I won't be the husband, the father, the man that I need to be. And that was a great thought and a great challenge. We've got to make time every day. Look at tomorrow, or if you haven't today, look at today. Say, this is the time where I'm going to get in the Word of God. Tomorrow, this is the time I'm going to get in the Word of God. This is the time. Not say, well, if I get a chance, if I get all this done, then I'll read. The devil will make sure you don't have time to read it. That happens to me. You got to say, I'm going to do it now. We got to make time to read the Word of God daily. But also, when we read it, we see, secondly, we've got to meditate upon it daily. Brother Chris loves this illustration so much, and he was smiling while I looked up. As we think about chewing the cud, just like a cow does, constantly chewing, regurgitating, turning it over. That's what we need to do with the Word of God every day. You need to read God's Word with a purpose, and that purpose is letting Him speak to you. Adrian Rogers said we need to come before our Bible reading time and say, Lord, speak to me. Illuminate Your Word to my heart. Help me to see what You're trying to say to me. We don't want you to read it just for the sake of saying you read it, but we want you to read it for the sake of letting God speak. Remember, this book is literally the God-breathed words. God has spoken spoken this book to us. So many people say, well, I just wish God would speak to me. Open your Bible. God has spoken 1,189 chapters worth of words to you and to me. Why would He speak audibly when we're not reading His book? We've got to make time daily. We've got to meditate upon it when you read it. And I believe when you do it, see the key. That's why faithfulness is the key. When you get in it, every day you make that time to read it. Every day you read it, it'll begin to become a thing where you're thinking about it constantly. The more you do it, the more it will come to the forefront of your thoughts. And you'll be turning Scripture over in your mind. And God will begin, and you won't even realize it, but God will be beginning to work in your heart, changing the way you think, which will change your entire life. We've got to make time daily. We've got to meditate daily. And here's one that I, to be honest with you, don't do as well as I should. We've got to memorize Scripture daily. Now, I don't mean that every day you need to know a new verse. And if you don't, you're a bad Christian. No, that's not what I'm saying. But we've got to make the effort to learn the Scriptures, to memorize them. Maybe that is maybe once a week. Or once a week, I'm going to say, I'm going to learn this verse. And every day, taking the necessary steps, if you would like to do that, I've got a wonderful app on my phone that I can show you. It's a fun way to do it. It's a way to keep track of all the verses you've learned. And it's set up to where you can go back and like keep refreshing yourself of the verses you already know, keeping you sharp. There are plenty of tools to help you memorize God's Word. And then the response from most people may be, well, my memory just ain't the same it used to be. And I know that. That's true. But how many of us hear a song on the radio that we've heard two or three times? Man, hey, we start singing it, going along with them. Carrie does that all the time. There's songs that I didn't even know she's heard them before. But then she starts singing. I'm like, have you heard that song before? She's like, yeah, I think once before. I mean, what we enjoy, what we're interested in, what we find important, we will be able to remember. If we really want to. That may be more difficult for some than others, but it is possible. I can assure you of that. Let's not forget, and we're going to talk about it here in a moment, there's a man named the Holy Spirit that lives within our heart. And if we'll ask Him to, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe it's God's will that we memorize Scripture. And if it is, I believe His Holy Spirit will help us to do so if we ask Him. And we'll talk more about that here in a moment. So the meditating, or making time, meditating, and memorizing daily. So faithfully hiding, that's very important. But also faithfully heeding the Word. How do we faithfully heed? First, we see in Romans 12:1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There must be surrender. If you don't come to the Word of God with a heart of surrender, it ain't going to do much for you. If you don't come to the book, the Word of God and say, Lord, as I read, show me what you'd have me to do and give me the grace to do it. Or if you come to the Bible and say, if your preconceived notion is I'm not going to do what it says, what good is it going to do you? You've got to come to the Word with surrender, by surrendering, but also we just referenced by spirit filling. Physically, we have some limitations. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do everything God wants us to do. Not some things, everything. If there's a command in this book to you and to me, it may look impossible physically, but spiritually, we can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we will surrender to Him and ask Him to control us. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with, that means controlled by, the Spirit. So in order for Him to have control, we've got to surrender control. That's why surrender is so important. But if you ask the Holy Spirit to, I believe He'll do it. He will give you the grace, in this case, to memorize Scripture. In this case, to be obedient to Scripture. In this case, to make time daily to get in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will help you and empower you to do everything God tells you to do, if you'll let Him. So by surrendering, by spirit filling, and this references Ephesians 5:18 again, but by doing these things steadily, faithfully. Faithfully is the key. Remember, our goal is to spiritually develop as God wants us to and as we can. To do that, we've got to do these things faithfully. I mean, for us to grow physically, we've got to eat pretty faithfully, don't we? Same thing spiritually. That word be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18, that literally means be ye being filled. It's a continual process. If we're filled with the Spirit one moment, He may empower us to do it, but we're not filled with Him the next. At that point, we're trying to do it in our power, and we probably can't do it then. That's why we've got to constantly strive to stay filled with the Spirit in every situation. So we've got to be faithfully hiding and faithfully heeding. And then thirdly, I believe we've got to be faithfully hoping in the Scriptures. What I mean by that is believing what they say. Trusting in God's word. This father of the faith that we see here in these verses is somebody who's walked with God, who has believed the word of God. Well, I believe here first we see that this person has used the word of God in battle to fight. And I don't need to remind you, but we're in a spiritual battle, church. The Bible says we're fighting. Now, we may see faces on our enemies in the world today, but our ultimate enemy is Satan himself. We're fighting an enemy we cannot see. And we've got to fight on our hands, and we've got to do just as Jesus did, just as I believe these fathers of the faith have. We've got to fight, use the word of God to fight in battle. What does the Bible say? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is our only weapon, is the Bible. You all know this, but what did Jesus say when he was fighting Satan? It is written. Right. He did that three times and Satan fled. The word of God has the same power for you. Amen. You can fight the devil with the word if you will get in it, like we talked about. Get it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Heed it daily. And you, and in the heat of battle, in times where you may not be realizing that's what you need, it's in your heart, the Holy Spirit will bring that verse back to your remembrance and you will be able to use it to fight. Amen. Now, Jesus had an advantage. He's the God of the universe. He knows everything. So he didn't have to remember it like we do. But that same Holy Spirit that was there with Christ that enabled him, because he's God, the Holy Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all God. He can enable us to do the same. To recall the Scriptures, to recall the Word of God. We've got to use it in battle to fight. Then we've got to also believe it by faith. I believe sometimes in our life it's going to get difficult. Sometimes we're just going to throw up our hands and say, I don't know what to do. It's in times like that that we've got to, and I believe the spiritual fathers here, what they did is they took God's word for what it said and believed it. That they might not have saw it at the time, but they trusted God. And I can promise you, as they did that, every single time without fail, God showed himself faithful. Because God will forever be faithful to his word. I can promise you that. That is how you become a spiritual father, a spiritual elder, spiritually mature. Get in the word of God. Get the word of God in you. Obey the word of God. Use the word to fight. Believe the word when it gets hard. And God will be faithful. Your faith will be strengthened. And you will be spiritually mature. That's a promise. I promise you that will happen. We've got to be faithfully hoping in it. And when we use it to fight in battle, and we believe it by faith, I believe then we will boast in its faithfulness. Why do you think when I read the Bible this morning and we sung the songs today, smiles were on faces, tears were in eyes? Not because of just some leatherback book, but because you have believed it and you have seen the God who wrote it and who spoke it be faithful to it. And that brings joy and peace to our heart and confidence and assurance. Amen. I believe I challenge you, take God at his word and you'll be bragging on him. Ain't that right, Glenn? Ain't that right? Everybody else in here? God's been good to us. God has been faithful to His Word. Let's just trust Him. And as we do that faithfully, He will grow us and develop us, and we will become spiritually mature. Let's not be like the first group of people who have been satisfied that they've been saved and that's it. But let's grow and begin to know God and know His Word. See, that should be our goal, to know Him and make Him known. But we do that by this book. This isn't just a book that we say, well, you got to read it because you're a Christian. That's what Christians do. This is our everything, church. Without this, we're nothing. This book is everything to us. It can change our lives if we'll let it. So we see those things. And fifthly, and I'm done, the searching. Where do you fit into what we've talked about this morning? What category are you? Are you a spiritual babe? Little children? Are you a young man? Are you growing in your faith? Getting strong in the Word? Are you a spiritual father, spiritual elder, spiritually mature? We all can be. If we are not developing as we can and should, may God help us today to find a place on this altar and ask God to forgive us. Ask Him to help us to trust Him. And as we do, I can promise you, we will grow. You will become more like Jesus every day you do so. And that's the goal. I want to know God. And if you're saved, I believe that's your desire. But remember, we know Him as much as we want to. We're as close to Him as we want to be. We're as spiritually mature as we want to be. May God help us to purpose in our heart that we're going to get closer to Him. And as we do, He'll change us. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes as Miss Anna comes to the piano.